right, today on the podcast, I interview Owen Ekblad. Owen is one of the top trick innovators on Instagram right now, and he is the undisputed champ of the Impress Owen contest. Be sure to check out his signature yo-yo by Duncan the Turney. Just a heads up, during this interview, we did have a little bit of internet connection issues, so there's some times where the sound gets a little iffy, and we had a couple cutouts. So edited it, made it sound pretty good. So yeah, just be patient with those couple parts. But yeah, enjoy the interview. Cool. Well, today on the podcast, we have Owen Ekblad, the undisputed champ of the Impress Owen contest on Instagram, and just overall pretty impressive trick innovator. So, Owen, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, can't complain. But so let's go ahead and just start at the beginning. So how did you get into yo-yoing?
So I got into yo-yoing. It was kind of in like two phases because I was introduced to whatever, you know, like the concept of the yo-yo when I was like 8 years old. I was on vacation and I was really bored. And so my grandpa got me and my sister a yo-yo. Okay. And so that's how I kind of learned what yo-yos were. That lasted about a week. And I forgot about them forever until it must have been 2010 or 2011.
Okay.
When I was also again on vacation and also very bored. Well, not as bored as I was in that first one. But yeah. But anyway, I was in a toy store. Okay. And saw a yo-yo and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And so I was playing with that for the whole vacation. And my dad told me about this trick called the trapeze. And I was like, that's insane. You know, blew my mind that, you know, you could do stuff besides like forward pass or loop to loop and those kinds of responsive tricks. And and so I, you know, Googled, you know, yo-yo tricks. And the first video that showed up was the Hiroyuki Suzuki yo-yo god video, you know, and that blew my mind. So it kind of stuck ever since then. I think I ended up getting like a freehand zero or something, soon after. So that's how it got started.
Yeah. And then from there, it was just the natural progression of trying to figure out exactly what he was doing and
Right. It goes to it goes from Yo-Yo God to Expert Village to YoYoExpert.com, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty common trajectory for just about everybody that's listening.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be the common story. Yeah.
So I know personally, like when I think of you yo-yoing, I think you're kind of a trick innovator. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think so.
Yeah. So how did you kind of find your niche when it comes to that?
So when I was like starting out as a yo-yoer, I never really was big in the like, you know, the actual competition community.
Yeah.
And so competition was never really my thing when I was beginning. And then I kind of, you know, had established like a trick set of my own, independent of competition. And so it for me now, you know, it just kind of felt like, well, competition's not really my thing. So I'm kind of just more interested in making up tricks, you know, if that makes any sense. And also, really, when I got started, there was a big impact for me from people like Jensen and I think Jensen and, you know, like Drew Tates and what was that one guy? Nate Sutter, these kind of guys. Who Jensen in particular, these videos of him, like you know, that video where he throws the North Star into the river that he used to win worlds, you know, that one really had a big impact on me. Like, oh man, competition's for losers. I'm going to innovate. So, since, you know, I have a respect for competition, it's just, for me, it's, I'm really kind of more interested in, I don't know, maybe pushing the envelope or, it just kind of seems more fun because in this way too, I think, I never have to practice yo-yo. Yeah. I can always just mess around. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's kind of how it is for me. It's like, I don't know. I just really enjoy, the act of creating tricks instead of like, preparing for competition and doing that kind of thing. So yeah.
A lot less stress. I can
a
imagine.
Lot less stress for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of, I know you talked about like Jensen and all that, but so who were your role models? Like when you started yo-yoing, who were the guys that you looked up to?
Yeah, I did really look up to, Jensen, for sure. He was a big, role model of mine.
Mm-hmm. I think just about anybody that picked up yo-yo in that right. 2010 era, like
right.
he had it all. I mean, he had the cool tricks, he had the cool performance and
right. For sure. He really did have it all. I mean, he did. And then he won worlds, which is crazy. Yeah. And his 2010 was like incredible to me. And then his 2011 freestyle was just even more mind blowing because it was like one throw, you know, and it was just crazy.
I agree. I think that's one of my, if not my favorite freestyle of all time. Like
it's really rewatchable, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of timeless. Like it's just has a flow to it that I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see anything really like that in competition. I mean, I hope we do, but I don't know if it would stand up to it.
I'd say, I don't know. It feels like, cause what he did, it was really interesting cause he, you know, had the seed from winning worlds last year and he used that to make a statement the year after. And I think Hajime kind of did something like that this year, you know, with the, but anyway, I do agree with you. He's really kind of standing.
So, all right. So we talked about mentors or, role models a little bit. Right. Did you have any mentors or like anybody that kind of helped you pick it up and learn tricks or stuff like that?
Not really, actually. There was like there's a yo-yo club down here in Southeast Michigan called the Plymouth Yo-Yo Club. And, that was like a source of community for me. And there were a lot of people in that club, they were kind of my peers and we all kind of grew up around each other. People like Michael Stets and Chris Chun and people like that were all from that yo-yo club. So I didn't really have any mentors though. No, I learned all the, almost to a deficit, I learned all the tricks, the beginner tricks by myself. And I say that because it maybe took me like 3 years to even figure out what the 1.5 mount was.
Man, my mind was blown the first time I saw 1.5 mount. I'm like, how's that possible?
Right, like, right. You're right. It's like, I was like, no way.
Yeah. I watched it and I was just like, that's not, how's that a thing?
Because you have trapeze and the yo-yo goes on top of the string and 1.5 is like, it goes under, oh my God. Trapeze Brother was another one that kind of blew my mind too. But all those tricks that like yo-yo expert didn't explicitly teach, you know, was like, oh my gosh, now we're really off the beaten trail, you know?
So even with that, I mean, just having a community is huge. Like just being able to have somebody to talk to or if you're looking at a yo-yo and you're like, cause there's really no place to go and try them. So it's like, they might have this one, give it a shot. And that does influence play style to a point.
Right. For sure. And it's also, it keeps you going too, you know, like you have friends who yo-yo, it's like, you know, you're going to stick with it if you got other friends to talk to about it, as opposed to if you're just, you know, stuck in your own little bubble. Yeah.
And then, so outside of that, kind of moving into like current, anything in particular you look to for inspiration for like coming up with tricks and stuff such as that?
Right. So as far as inspiration is concerned, I do take a lot of inspiration from, I don't know, I mean, just Instagram in general, you know, every now and then someone just does something really cool on Trick Circle that I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But I've also been, excuse me. Taking a lot of inspiration from like Kendama lately, and like fixed axle kind of tricks, because you may have seen there's like a trend in Kendama to kind of do string tricks and that kind of thing, which is really interesting to me to see that. And I've been getting a lot of inspiration from that, and also from other styles of play. So like from 5A, obviously, you know, I think that's I get a lot of inspiration. My 1A from 5A, a lot of 5A inspiration from 1A. But also from even 4A, I think that's pretty interesting. Off-string tricks are pretty cool to try to translate over to other styles. And so that's definitely all kinds of different factors.
Cool. So, speaking of that, it's kind of moved to your creative process. So I feel like there's a good amount of tricks that come up on your Instagram, and it's like, I have never seen anything like that. So like, yeah. I know, like when I kind of come up with my own tricks, it's basically either failing to learn another trick,
right,
or you just kind of take bits and pieces. But what's that creative process kind of look like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question. I don't know. For me, it's kind of continuous. You know, I'll find something. You know, through any sequence of events, you can always find something, and you see it. It's a trick. It's okay. So you find tricks, you know, by messing up or however anybody finds tricks. But it's continuous for me. It's like I have a bunch of small things, and I keep them in the back of my head for a really long time, and I just yo-yo a lot, and I try to stitch together all these little things I have and try to make them work and try to improve them. And like funny mounts I might have that I don't know what to do with, but, you know, it seems like it could help at some point or another. Or, I mean, there's been tons of tricks that have just kind of been familiar with for a long time just by yo-yoing a lot, you know. But I didn't know how to make it into a comprehensive trick, you know. It's like you have a concept, but it's not really like, it's just a concept, you know. And so you just got to play with them for a really long time, and you know, you got to forget about some things, you got to remember some things, you know. I really think my creative process is just I yo-yo a lot, and I yo-yo in a very freeform way, you know. So like I said, I don't really practice all too much. I just kind of yo-yo. And I think when you yo-yo a lot and you're just doing it for fun, you're always looking for a way to have more fun, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely.
I don't know. I just yo-yo a lot, I think, would really be it. But Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay, so we talked, I did have a bullet point on talking about yo-yo practice, but I think we hit that pretty well. You just kind of yo-yo, which...
Right.
I feel like that's a great way to look at it. Yeah. So let's move on to setup. So what are you throwing?
Yeah, well, if I'm not throwing tourney, of course I have to say tourney, right?
Yep.
But if I'm not throwing tourney, I'm really been into this this aluminum butterfly. It's been super cool because it's I'm throwing it. It's, in particular, I'm throwing it like responsive, you know. So it's been kind of cool. That has really been fueling my creative process, actually, because you put kind of constraints like that on your yo-yoing, and it you know, makes you play a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So that's been cool. I've also been using...
That's a cool yo-yo. Yeah.
It is a cool yo-yo. It really is. Do you have one, or have you tried one?
Well, I was planning on getting one at Worlds, but I was away for a business trip, and by the time I got to Worlds, they were out, and I was like, not going to worry about it.
Right.
But, I thought that was the coolest concept when they came out with that.
It's super, and it looks so clean. I love that.
Yeah.
That engraving and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool yo-yo. That's been it. That and tourney have really been what I've heavily been throwing. But there's this. I have this. Are you familiar with the yo-yo recreation Clash Cube at all? It's this small. It's this really really undersized, really wide, kind of heavy, like strange yo-yo. And it's really similar to the, you know that wide yo-yo Corco came out with at Worlds? Yep. What's that called? It's similar to that in a lot of ways. But I've been using that one a lot too. And there's the Barracuda Junior by Duncan. I've been using that one quite a bit. And just I really like undersized yo-yos. Those kind of, you know, in non-traditional yo-yos, I think anything to kind of, you know, yo-yos that feel different, I feel like kind of affect how I play. And
yeah, definitely.
So those are the yo-yos I'm using. Yeah. And of course, as far as string is concerned, I use kind of ignorantly, I just use Fat Kitty string because that's always what I use. Yeah, so
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. So it does the trick.
Yeah, it's good, reliable. I feel like when they're in the sweet spot, they're just money, and you can switch them out so easy.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. What about bearings?
Bearings, oh boy, whatever it comes with, to to be honest. I'm not too picky about bearings. Same thing goes for response. I don't think I've changed response pads in like a couple of years, to be honest. I'm not too picky about that. If it gets obnoxiously slippy, you know, I gotta switch it out. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I've never been too picky about bearings. I used to really think like the fancy bearings, like gold plated ones and ceramic ones. I thought those were pretty interesting, but I don't know. I guess I use concave, I think, in most of my yo-yos.
Well, I think most Dunkins come with that Diffio concave, which that's a solid bearing. Like, it's hard to go wrong with it.
It is. Yeah, I think that maybe why I don't really think about it is because I just the new Dunkins all have these great bearings, so you know, nothing to worry about there.
Yeah. And then I mean, kind of going back to strings, what kind of string length do you use?
Right, that's actually a good question. That is a good question. It changes. It depends on. So there was a. It's been in flux. So for 5A, it's usually suggested by most 5A players that you use shorter string. Yeah. And so for a while, I got pretty lazy, because you know the rapid ball, you can just put the string around the counterweight, right?
Yeah.
So that was super easy for me to switch from 5A to 1A. Mm-hmm. And just use short string, you know? So I got pretty lazy and started, you know, playing 5A and 1A, just kind of having the same yo-yo and doing that. But recently I've been using a little bit longer. So I guess, oh boy, belly button length was about my standard for a while. And I don't know, you know, I always say belly button length and people are like, how tall are you? I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that's... different people have different... right.
Or if you have really long legs.
Right. I think my string is about at the, for a while it was about at the shortest you could, the short end of the 1A string spectrum.
Okay.
So it just barely felt comfortable, but it was definitely short. But recently I've been going a couple inches a little bit longer than that. So about, what can I say? Above my belly button, but what does that mean to anybody? You know, so. Yeah. Because longer string, I don't know. It's been interesting. Because shorter string helped me a lot with flow. It really helped me develop flow. But longer string, I've been. If you can do flow with short string, I think most people can figure out flow with short string. So for me, it kind of felt like a crutch after a little bit, and I'm trying to now get the hang of flow with a little bit longer string, which has been a challenge. But you know, it's been fun.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. And then a little bit away from yo-yoing, but still kind of directing it, since you are, I feel like you're one of the bigger trick creators on Instagram. What do you use for your camera setup?
Yeah, for cameras. So that's so I have I think it's an iPhone 7 Plus, and I always use the front-facing camera because the rear-facing camera, it does allow you to see yourself, but it's a lower quality camera. And so I always use the rear facing camera or the front camera, whatever it is, you know, the better camera.
Yeah.
To record myself, and usually what I do is I have this desk lamp that's super bright, and I aim it up at myself, and I prop my phone up on my laptop as a thing of a tripod, and I go for it, and if that doesn't look so good, then. I try to record during when it's sunny outside, so I can get some sunlight, because natural light looks pretty good.
Oh yeah.
But it depends on where I am, because I recently moved, and so I'm in a different, you know, it took me a minute to figure out my filming setup here. But before, I had that nice spot outside by the tree, which was, it had some pretty good light out there, and that was a nice, but. Yeah, I just make sure to use the front facing camera, whatever it is, the nicer camera on my phone to get the higher quality in. And you know what, I try to film on slow mo as much as possible too, because I feel like some of my videos, I really like to edit them to highlight some of my favorite parts of those tricks that are maybe more subtle.
Yeah.
With slow mo, you know, because I can parse it up into 100 different bits to show people what I'm really doing.
I feel like a lot of your tricks have a lot of little intricacies in them that they're kind of hard to miss at full speed. So like you break it down and it's like, cool, I had no idea you could do that with a yo-yo.
Yeah, that's a lot of, see, that's, I think that's a, that's my favorite kind of trick too, are these tricks that are just kind of just like, I didn't know you could do that. You know, that's kind of an interesting concept, and these like intricacies and these small things that are just like, I don't know, conceptually different, you know, like a small rejection you didn't know you could do or something like that. And it's really subtle and it's hard to see, but just stuff that makes you think, you know, that's something I like to highlight in my yoga.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so changing the topic a little bit. I know we talked a little bit earlier about like your yo-yoing community with your local yo-yo club, but how can the average yo-yoer kind of help to grow yo-yoing in your mind?
I think to grow yo-yoing, it's a good question. It's something I've been thinking about a lot, actually, because as I get more established as a yo-yoer, you know, you start thinking about these things, you know, like what kind of community am I going to leave behind? But I think it's important for people to be public with their yo-yoing, you know, not to be like a closeted yo-yoer, and that way it just kind of normalizes it wherever they are in their own little community, you know, and it's less of a like a, oh, you're the yo-yo boy, and it's more like, no, I'm not the yo-yo boy, you know, yo-yos are just a cool toy, you can do them too. And so I think it's kind of a it to normalize it, and not to make it a novelty, but to just make it a normal fun thing in the same way video games are a fun thing, you know. So I don't know, I think to play yo-yo casually, you know, it's a in a you know, wherever you are, I think that's the best thing anybody can really do,
All right.
you know,
Yeah, I mean,
unless of course you're like a yo-yo company owner or something, but you know.
yeah. Well, I think that's one of those things. Yo-yoing sells itself once people see it,
Right, it
especially
does, it
like
does.
I'd say that age group that's probably like what, 8 to 11. Like a kid sees somebody yo-yo and it looks cool, they're gonna want to get one, or at least
Right,
give
for
it a
sure.
try. And it's like if you can just get
Right,
them to
right.
try it, you know, some kids aren't gonna like it because it's hard.
Right.
Like
It is hard.
it's easy to pick your phone up and play Candy Crush, but it's hard to get your yo-yo to come back after a couple tries when you're new to it. So it's like if you can get 5 kids to try it, one of them's gonna like it. One of them's gonna stick with
Right,
it.
right, right, right. And that's what's actually what's I think the worst thing about yo-yo is it really looks like a foreign language, you know, like my sister always tells me, you know, in my family, they're always like, it's cool, I know what you're doing. You know, and I feel like that's what a lot of people think, you know, like and my friends too. It's really interesting, actually. I've been getting one of my best friends into yo-yoing, and he was like, before I got my hands on a yo-yo, watching you yo-yo, it was like neat, but it didn't look like anything. But now that he has a first, you know, firsthand like perspective of what it's like, you know, he can appreciate it a little bit more, even just by throwing the yo-yo and figuring out, oh, binding is actually hard too.
Like I always explain it, like I feel like anytime somebody sees somebody modern yo-yo and they want to try it, they're like, why can't it just come back up? Because I think a lot of people that are around like my age kind of yo-yo during the yo-yo boom in like the 90s, so they know how to throw it down and tug it back up. But just explaining, you basically have to do a trick to make it come back. It's kind of cool. But yeah, and I think it's cool that there's so many different niches in the yo-yoing world. So like you look at the current judging system, which I personally kind of like because it kind of makes it's like the equivalent, like the competition stuff's kind of like pop music. Like anybody can kind of tune in and like it without knowing what's going on. But a lot of competitors, they throw in stuff that's really, really cool. But
Right,
then
for
like
sure.
you look at like the trick innovators, kind of like yourself, it's almost like jazz music to a point where it's like you can listen to jazz and you're like, all right, that's cool. But once you understand like some music theory and some stuff like that, you're like, whoa, that is really freaking cool.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah. Competition is cool, but there's an extent to the things you can do on stage, you know, and be rewarded competitively.
Yeah, and what's cool with like people like you, like with like that trick innovator niche, is like there's a place for all of it in yo-yoing.
Right.
So especially like with Instagram, I mean, I think that's great for just showcasing really cool tricks that are short.
Right. Yeah. Instagram has really been, I think it's really been aiding the, just the, I don't know, the internet, of course, did wonderful mm-hmm. things for yo-yo tricks, but I think even Instagram, the Trick Circle community, is really, really cool. Just watch that grow and evolve, you know.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. So, yeah. All right, so on to our next question. Do you have any plans for 2020 yo-yo-wise? Anything that we can be expecting, any contest you're going to, or anything like that?
Right. I'm not all too sure. My 2020 is up in the air. Now I'm gonna keep on, you know, sticking with Instagram. I'll hopefully be pumping out some, you know, continue mm-hmm. out pumping the tricks. As far as competitions, I do want to compete in 5A. I really want to beat John Wolf, man. But you know, that's my perpetual goal is to beat John. But
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah, you know, I think nationals, I'll try to go to nationals, and worlds would be super cool because Prague is, that would be, or is it, no, it's not in Prague, it's in Hungary.
Budapest. What am I talking
about? That would be Budapest, yeah, what am I talking about? But anyway, that would be super cool to go to Europe and see them. We'll see about that, but I'm going to say I'll go to nationals at the very least, and I'll probably make it out to some state contests around nice. Here, but for the most part, I think, if nothing else, I think I'm going to try to pump out some tutorials, nice. Maybe do some more videos, you know, full length video type things. And that should be cool. So I'm going to try out some new stuff in 2020.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, it is time for our rapid fire five questions. So,
all right, just wonderful.
Just think first thing that comes to mind and just go with it. There's some of the,
Sure,
you probably know a couple of them are coming since you've listened, but all right, first
yeah,
one. Favorite old school yo-yo?
Favorite old school yo-yo is going to be the freehand, the original freehand.
All right, that's a solid choice. All right, favorite snack when yo-yoing?
Oh boy, you know what? I don't like eating too much while yo-yoing, but I really enjoy like drinking coffee or tea while I'm yo-yoing. So I don't know if that counts as a
that
snack,
counts.
But...
That counts.
That counts. Okay, great. Yeah. So like a hot cup of coffee or tea really gets me going.
All right. Any kind of coffee in particular? I'm a coffee guy.
Oh, boy. Not really particular. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I really like coffee, but I'm not too much of a coffee guy, actually.
Okay.
I drink coffee black for the most part. And same for tea. I'll drink like a green tea or something like that. But yeah.
Okay. So we kind of touched on this earlier. So take 1.5 mount out of the question, but basic
right.
yo-yo trick that took significantly longer to learn than it should have.
Right. Oh my gosh. Iron whip. Iron whip was ridiculous. Okay. It's funny because I learned, you know, jade whip and follow before I learned how to do iron whip. It was so hard for me. That one took a really long time. I think I had given up on it too, and it took me something like, and you know what? Another one, I'm going to have to amend that list, is the trick revolution. That one took me forever too.
Yeah.
Two tricks that took me forever. I mean, oh my gosh, those were tricks I gave up on. And and like, I don't think I ever properly learned them. It was just one day I was like, okay, I'm going to do this for my 11 year old self. So those were definitely some tricks that maybe like for, I mean, I just gave up on learning them, you know? So
I think everybody can relate to some of those.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Favorite hobby outside of yo-yoing?
Oh man. I got a few. I really like reading. I really enjoy reading.
Cool. Any book recommendations?
I think anybody who hasn't read, oh boy. Well, one of my favorite authors is Ray Bradbury. So I think people should read this book called The Illustrated Man by Ray Bradbury.
Okay.
It's a really good book of short stories, and it's super cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And then last question. So you go to Do you go to Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay. Will Michigan ever beat Ohio State in football?
I'm going to say, you know what? The state of things seems like no, that will not happen.
Okay. I'm kind of hoping they do.
You know what? I'm hoping so too. But Harbaugh has been like, oh my gosh. He's like, he was supposed to be our savior. And then I've lost faith in him ever since, you know. So I really wish that would happen, you know, but it's not looking too hot. Someday.
Eventually.
I don't know if it's going to be Harbaugh.
Yeah, statistically, eventually it's bound to happen.
right, of course.
Yeah. All right, and then lastly, so where can people follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, so my Instagram is just Owen Ekblad. Yeah, that's about it. Cool. No spaces. It's just my name. Yeah.
Cool. I'll throw that up in the show notes. And then do you want to plug your signature yo-yo?
Yes, indeed. So my signature yo-yo is the Tourney. It's a super cool yo-yo. It plays incredibly. It's got the coolest art in yo-yo right now, and we're coming out with new colors.
Nice.
I'm going to say this. I'm not supposed to say this. Hey, Brian, I'm saying this. We're coming out with this beautiful new fades that are going to come out. You know, we got new fades, and we're working on some new special editions for, like, signature editions for the team that should be super cool. So that's something to look forward to going forward. But we got big plans for the tourney, so. So watch out for
and Brian,
that.
Brian won't mind. He's a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, even like the fade you have out now look pretty slick. That green one, is that a fade?
Yeah, that green one's super cool. It is a fade. Yeah, we got the green and the, it really is. I'm really happy with how those turned out because we had a lot of issues producing them because, you know, it's kind of hard to make a fade like that apparently, and I'm glad they turned out so good.
Cool. Well, be sure to listeners, be sure to check out the tourney. It's a solid yo-yo, and thank you for your time today, Owen.
Yeah, thank you very much for the interview. It was super cool.